I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at Action247.com.
We do have some breaking news coming into the 92.9 FM ESPN studios. It's a big one. Derek Carr is the leading passer in the NFL.
That's not breaking news. Congrats on that, though.
It's really sad. Well, no, it's true. It's real. That's a real.
Yeah, so congrats.
Yeah. It's sad that that's the only team I can count on now.
The team that lost to the Bears.
Their coach was fired for being racist. Henry Ruggs killed somebody. But they are the team that I can count on, usually. I mean, they beat the Cowboys on things. I don't know what you were doing. Maybe you were, you know, slumped over. You had a little too much turkey. I don't know what you was doing.
Too much leftovers.
Conveniently just didn't watch that game, did you? Nah. Cowboys back in action tonight on Thursday night against the Saints.
And a must-win for the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's a must-win for the Saints too, though, isn't it, Coach?
No. I think Saints season's over, and they're just saying, okay, did we give Taysom Hill money for a real reason or not?
Yeah.
0-4 with Trevor Siemian as the starter. That did not work.
Yes.
So since you're paying Taysom Hill, you may as well start him under center.
Yeah, Mormon Jalen.
Their season's over, John.
I don't know. You got Mormon Jalen under center, buddy. Yeah.
That's what you call him?
Yeah.
Okay.
He is. Is he not? He walked so Jalen could run, didn't he?
Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I think
although,
he did.
Although I think the jury is in now on Jalen Hurts and
you like
it's
him?
Over. No, it's over.
What you mean? What you mean?
Just hasn't made great decisions that, you know, love the way he handles himself, professional, all that stuff, but he has not made great decisions.
He's a second-year quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not seeing the development as a passer on a week-to-week basis.
They don't trust him to pass. Maybe if they schemed a little better, you know, and let him do that, let him wind up a little bit. They make him just hand the ball off and run now.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm disappointed to hear this from you. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, I mean, this was the year he was supposed to show you whether or not that's the guy and you stay invested. I just don't think he's shown enough.
You think he's shown enough, though, to not be the guy?
Yeah, I would be ready to move on if I'm them.
Who are you going to get?
I have no idea, but you start that
process
now.
You would rather have Baker Mayfield?
Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and how waiting, what it's done to them.
You
always have to be about that process of identifying who the next guy is if you don't currently have that guy.
Agreed. Now, do you think Baker Mayfield is better than Jalen Hurts? Who would you rather have? I'll tell you, I'd rather have Jalen every day of the week.
I'm just going to go there because I just think Baker's more concerned with critics and things like that rather than, you know, doing everything it takes necessary to be successful in NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh,
Baker's
yeah.
real good about putting fans in their place, everything else.
Yeah.
Commercials, that he's got that down. It's the other part of that.
I believe your Dallas Cowboys are 4.5-point favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Alvin Kamara's out again.
Yes, that's what I'm telling you about the Saints. They are all banged up. It's basically just Ingram and Taysom Hill today.
Yeah, I mean, it really should. You know, there was a time where we were talking about the Dallas Cowboys like being possible Super Bowl contenders.
Well, I mean, from a personnel standpoint, you'd still think they are. That hasn't changed much.
Yeah.
The thing is, they are little Jekyll and Hyde. You don't know what you're going to get from them right now. And, again, that run game should be doing more for them. There's this weird balance on offense that's not. It's out of balance right now. And then defensively, again, they've been up and down all season long. So you don't know what you're going to get. But this is a must-win for them because of the way they've played here the last three, 4 weeks.
It is. Interesting. Thursday night game in New Orleans. Patty's Picks returns tomorrow. Looking forward to that. We did have obviously a week off, and it's unfortunate because I went 6-0.
I thought we'd hear that joke on Monday.
So that counts. So we will have six winners
your
for you tomorrow.
Your first 6-0 week.
You know, what is the number tonight? That's interesting. Let's take a look at that. Because, you know, one of the things that you always think about, you know, home team, prime time, underdog, like you're kind of +6. New Orleans is +6 in New Orleans.
Taysom is banged up in his first start. Foot or something. He's not even 100%.
You going to lay that 6 and feel good about it?
I think I would tonight just because.
Dallas is banged up too. McCarthy's got COVID. Zeke's not right.
I'm not worried about Mike McCarthy. Your clock management is going to be better with him off the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
No lie. So I'm not worried about Mike McCarthy, the difference. Because Kellen calls the plays.
There's no reason to worry
about Mike McCarthy being gone, John.
You're laying the 6.
I think I would tonight.
Okay, interesting.
As banged up as New Orleans is.
No, must-win deal.
That defense probably feeling like, man, we ain't got much to play for anymore.
Mm-hmm. You can really end the race 100%. In the NFC East here. If you win this game tonight, you can kind of just...
I've read they still got 2 with Washington, I want to say.
Right.
Because of the games they've got left, it's not quite done. But, yes, if you want to get to the business of wrapping that up, it needs to be... taking care of business first with teams like the Saints, absolutely.
And then before we get back to Memphis, any final thoughts on the season that Derek's having?
I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a couple of people DM me recently and say I've been too hard on him. His own teammates have been hard on him.
I'll give you flowers. It's been pretty miraculous given what they've been through.
I can't go too far. He lost to the Bears, man.
He's been through.
It's up and down.
This conversation needs to be short, okay?
Yeah. No,
because
go.
You were going on go. About how he's
be
the
as
NFL's
passing leader.
Listen to me. You're going on about how he's the NFL's passing leader. Is anyone saying Derek Carr should be MVP? No, you didn't even mention him in the conversation we had earlier this week about how we can't find another candidate right now that you can put up next to Aaron Rodgers.
That's fair.
You didn't even mention this dude.
No, I didn't want to come off as a
earlier
homer.
Earlier this season, you didn't even like him. Do you remember that statement?
Yes, that was a test.
Okay, well, this is not me hating you, John. This is me holding you accountable for things that you understand that?
No.
For things that you have said.
That was a test.
And at one point this season, you said, I don't even like Derek Carr.
That was me trying to motivate him like Penny's trying to motivate his veterans.
Geez.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
I wanted to lay down the gauntlet.
Okay.
You know, we've had 5-6 years of this, Derek. It's time for you to, you know, take the next step.
I'd like to see it happen. You guys make the postseason. It actually means something in the postseason.
Yeah, well.
So good season for you, Derek.
Well, thank you. He's leading the league.
Yeah, seems like you like him now. You're back on board.
Why don't you combine both Bears quarterbacks? You still ain't going to have as many yards as Derek Carr.
Ooh. Well, you're really hurting me now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Matt Nagy's still
your
coach.
The team that beat you.
Yeah, we were shaving points.
You realize how silly this looks.
We've done that a couple times this year.
So you guys don't like the Saints tonight at all?
Don't like the Saints tonight, although, look, it is still 6. You know,
The Cowboys used to cover.
I heard
remember
that.
Earlier this season? They were like the last team that was covering everything. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
That said, I feel good about tonight because the Saints are banged up and ready to let go of the rope.
Yeah.
Interesting. So that game is we'll have that game 92.9, right?
790 because of the Grizzlies.
Yeah, 790.
Over.
Yeah, we will have that game right here on 790 a.m. Okay, speaking of the University of Memphis, we have not talked a ton about the things that Penny said. We talked about the offense, defense, and you know, because you don't really want to just talk about some of the things that Penny said, but we're going to address
this. Well, no, it was like the 7 days of Christmas, wasn't it? Seven special.
On the first day of Christmas, Penny Hardaway gave to me 1, backing over, 2, driving over again.
Well, I heard Jeff, and I can tell y'all were talking last night.
Me and Jeff don't talk like that, bro.
He said never heard anything like that from a college basketball coach when talking about his players. I heard that. I listened to his show daily from 7 to 9. That's Jeff Calkins. You're showing me on your phone.
What does that say?
It says incoming call last night.
What time?
I can barely see it. What, 9:33?
That's right. Because look.
So you did talk. Just like I said, what are you doing here?
I can confirm we did talk.
Uh-huh. And you were both very angry. Can you believe what Penny said, John?
A lot of people.
Jeff, I can't believe it.
Is 12 days of Christmas appropriate for you right now?
A lot of people, no, because I'm not happy about this.
Right.
I'm not actually happy about this at all. A lot of people, like, reach out to me because they want to know what I think. You know, they want to know, like,
they listen.
What does John have to say about, you know, not just the Tigers, but, like, life? You know, how can...
Let's role play the call.
Huh?
You know how we do well when we role play?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, do that. That's good. I like this.
Can we role play? Jeff called you, right?
Yeah, he called me.
Can I be Jeff and you just be you?
yeah, I got to try to retrace the conversation.
You got that.
I told you. Yeah. I told you.
Yeah, there's no way we're doing that here.
Not
absolutely
doing it.
Absolutely not. Maybe Jeff will. Maybe Jeff can do it.
What is factual is that you were both in an uproar about what he said. And yes, some of the stuff that he says is like, whoa, well, they don't want to win or they're okay with losing.
Can I read everything he said?
Please do.
Okay. There aren't enough guys in that locker room that care enough about winning unless they are the ones that are helping us win. That describes you also, Jason. There were still guys pouting coming in and out of the game. It's really ridiculous. It's been happening since the first game. It's rearing its ugly head on us. It's just amazing to watch that we're just not getting it as a group. I don't understand what happens when the game starts and it becomes about self and not team. We look like an AAU team out there. We don't look like we want to play together. We know exactly what's coming. We're well prepared, and the guys don't care enough to get stops to do the things that we need to do. If you've got teams that are locked in and together, anybody can beat you. We are not together. We are getting beat by teams that are. I want to see the veterans really feel like I feel right now. I question if the veterans from last year, do they really hurt after these two losses? And finally, I do think this was the most disturbing thing. Guys are willing to lose if they're not getting their way. That is tough to watch.
They're your guys.
That's exactly right. To everything, every single comment that Penny made can be followed with this. You're the coach. You're the coach. There aren't enough guys in that locker room that care enough about winning? Great. You're the coach. There were still guys pouting coming in out of the game. It's really ridiculous. Great. You're the coach. Fix it. It's just amazing to watch that we're not getting as a group. You're the coach. We know exactly what's coming. We're well prepared, and the guys don't care enough to get stops, do the things we need to do. You're the coach. If you got teams that are locked in and together, anybody can beat you. We're not together. We're getting beat by teams that are. You're the coach. I want to see the veterans really feel like I feel right now. I question if the veterans from last year, do they really hurt after these losses? You're the coach. Guys are willing to lose if they're not getting their way. That's tough to watch. You are the coach.
Yeah. You just wonder if Penny expects his players to hear – to. Is he reiterating this with them in the locker room? Is he just venting with Wolo? Because that's where these came from, right?
I believe so.
And were they nearly to this degree when he spoke with Munns and Steven and those guys? Like, because he has a tendency, I just want to say before we get into this, a little bit harsher with Wolo.
Well, because it's the first thing, right?
It's the first thing. He's the first one than he is necessarily with what's going out into the CA and Daily Memphian and all that. Not to put you on Daily Memphian, CA, all that, right? Because I don't put you guys in order.
It's not a competition, man.
But does he expect it to get back to him? Because that would be the point, right? If you're saying things like that, you're hopefully doing it for a reason, right? You're hoping to push their buttons so that you get a response, hopefully a positive one, in the next game. Or are you just venting?
Well, he's clearly...
Because I think some of this is... A coach that's frustrated that's just saying the first thing comes... Because you cannot tell me that Quiñones didn't want that at the end of that game last night.
I agree.
I mean, I thought Alex Lomax played well. Yes, you need more from your veteran players. But to this whole idea about they don't care, you know, as much as you, that to me just seemed like a coach that was in his head. He's frustrated. And, you know, he's going to, you know, in some cases maybe go overboard. So I'm not as worried about it unless we see a team on Saturday that isn't listening to its coach, that isn't on the same page. You know, we didn't see last year. I keep going back to this 14-3. Last 17 games, guys wanted to transfer, Boogie, DJ, and yet on the floor, you were able to keep it together. Does that happen, or do we start to see an unraveling? Because here's the thing, when you put it on the players like he did last night, well, their shoulders are only so broad. They can only hold up so much. And if it keeps being, oh, they're letting me down, they're letting me down, they're letting me down, well, after a while, they're going to stop listening to you as much and start listening to the other folks who are saying, well, you getting a bad rap. You got a raw deal. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This play that he did last night only worked so much. And so nobody's going to want to hear him again on Saturday blame the players again because why? What we just touched on, John. Penny, they're your players.
Yep.
It's your job to get them out of that. You don't just get the players, right, and you say, hey, guys, I got you. Got the number one class. Go win me a national championship. No. In college basketball, the coaching matters. And so there is no just being frustrated or we prepare them the best we can and then they go out and fail. Brother, it's still on you.
It is.
And that's why on
and that's the arrangement in college basketball for everybody.
Penny knows that.
Yes.
But he was frustrated as hell last night. You saw him take that jacket off. That man was embarrassed that they were losing last, and he should be embarrassed.
He was fresh, though.
He should be embarrassed.
That vest was nice. The nice vest.
Man, going to the formal wear didn't do anything, did it?
No. We need to go back to the sweatsuits.
Now.
We need less Gucci, right?
Shortening the... y'all figure that one out. I know this. I know what did work. I know shortening that rotation cut down on those turnovers. And that's why I'm saying don't go away from that. Even though it was ugly and nasty at times,
he's gonna be compelled to.
He is, because that's the way he is.
Right.
I lost, so I got to change.
Yep.
Oh, I'm losing with my jacket on? Let me take it off. So you know what I'm saying? Take this thing off. We're going to get this thing turned around. Like, that's just Penny. I need him to stick to the plan that he said he needed, basically, this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Said at halftime, West Kentucky, subbing too much. I need him to stick to that plan for Ole Miss, because I think eventually, even if it leads to a drop-off someone in defense because you're playing fewer players, guys might be tired, what it's going to do is you're going to move up the column that you need to the most, the one that's hurt you the most the last 3 years, and that's that turnovers column, which isn't just turnovers, guys. That's chemistry, right? That rotation, guys being comfortable, all of that goes into the same pot. So, again, I just want to see some decisiveness in a guy who's sticking to his plan. Come Saturday when he's playing Ole Miss.
I think
they can get out of it.
If you could assure me of that right now.
I know. Yeah, I can't.
But if you could.
In fact, I would tell you, John, it's probably not going to happen. He's probably going to change the whole plan.
But if you could, I would feel so good.
I know you would.
You know what I mean? I would feel so good.
Because the talent's still there. It's like what, you know.
The talent is still there.
It's not just talent. They can play well defensively. They're still top 20 even after, 46 second half against Iowa State, 50 last night.
Right.
Still top 20
in defense. And the truth is, they'll be out of the top 25 on Monday, but they can get right back. All you have to do is just beat Tennessee and Alabama. You got to sweep those two.
Now, don't you think, again, this is nitpicking now, because my whole thing is just, you know, get the turnovers down.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually defense go, might not need to be in there?
Yeah, I would like to see more might not, you know. I thought Alo played his balls off last night.
Well, I'm glad you're saying it.
I thought he did, and I've been tough on him. I thought Alo was definitely, definitively not the problem last night.
Yeah, I didn't think he was the problem. That wasn't a throw him under the bus game to me.
No, I think that's one where, like, you have to, you know, I think you get to play this card one time, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right about this.
You play this card one time, and I think he played it too early, you know? That's my view. I think that's a card you save when you're, you know, in January and in conference play, and you're not getting the effort that you want to see, you know, when the games really, 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 they all matter because of the seeding, but, like, you really need to win your league. You need to, like, be a one seed in your tournament, and you need to give yourself a chance to do that. But now you've burned it, and you can't do it again, because you do it again, you're gonna lose guys, period, point blank. So I just would have liked to see a little bit more, you know. I mean, I get these frustrated. I understand. It's not – like, he knows how bad that damn Georgia team is, right?
Oh, man, it was sick watching Korea try to – oof.
But that being said, you've played it. It's done. And hopefully they respond with a win on the road at Ole Miss. And that's all you can hope for.
Yeah, that's the key, is this whole response. And guys, I think we'll know in the first few minutes. You know, just Ole Miss is going to be fired up. This is a great opportunity for them. Obviously, you're going to have a ranked team, at least for now, in the pavilion. They'll be fired up, probably get off to a good start. But – you know, these lulls offensively, you know, that they've had, you know, hopefully that's not happening. That as guys get more used to, oh, okay, so I'm going to be out here. 7-8 man, you know, maybe we get to 9. That you see fewer of those lulls. So, again, come Saturday against an Ole Miss team, where's KenPom got them right now? They're much better than Georgia, obviously. They are 68th at KenPom right now. What are they, 5-2? And again, this is an Ole Miss team that's going to have some guys that want to beat you. And Jarkel Joyner, their leading scorer, used to play for Team Penny.
Yep.
Matthew Morrell. I just think stick to the script in terms of rotation, and you might start seeing some of that continuity, better chemistry. We've already seen fewer turnovers, so stick to the script.
Absolutely. All right, we'll come back. Jeff Calk is going to join us on the other side. We're going to talk to him about this, his perspective. Maybe he'll role play. Maybe he'll, you know, sort of recreate the call for you since you want to hear so bad. We'll get into all that with Jeff Calkins.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We come back.
Jeff Calkins.
His dog's on the loose in downtown Memphis. If you find Gus, give Jeff a call. 901-488. He joins us. Now, what up, man?
Don't give people that false information. They're going to start literally looking for Gus out there. Gus is he downtown, safe? But he's not lost. He's perfectly fine, okay. And I don't want people to put on an Amber Alert for my dog.
Okay.
You know. But if you want to see him in front of FedEx Forum, there's a picture on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter. Jeff, Calkins, Calkins. And you'll see the regal Gus. In front of FedEx Forum.
Can I still give out your phone number publicly?
What do you mean still?
Well, I was going to, like, in case, you know, if you find...
Oh, in case you saw...
Yeah, can I still do that? It might be fun. You never know. You know. You are
never know what would
single ladies.
Yeah, you're 60 now, man. You need a little excitement in your life.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You know what I mean? Like Memphis basketball. That's exciting.
There's plenty of excitement. Yeah. Plenty of excitement.
Like, does any part of you... I'm projecting a little bit because I do. Like, I almost feel bad. I'm kind of sad that, you know, we're coming in here, seven games into the season, and these are the things that we're having to say about Memphis basketball. Like, that kind of makes me sad. Does it make you sad, too?
Well, I mean, the whole thing makes me sad. In fact, I put that in the column. Like, after I went through what happened last night, I said – no one, like, people are going to get off their jokes, and, you know, people are, like, making a Penny King coach or, you know, all the stuff you're hearing, AAU team or, you know, I told you so or whatever it is, right? But even the people who are saying that, particularly, I mean, Memphis fans who are saying that out of bitterness or out of, you know, whatever, saying the harshest things, everyone just wants it, you know, it's sad. Everyone just wants this to go well and to have yet another year, and we don't know how it's going to turn out, but to have another year that is starting off this way. As I watched it unfold last night, at some point it became very clear it wasn't going to be an emphatic win, the kind of win they needed either way. But I just said, and I even said to this friend who called me at halftime, I said, just win. Let's just avoid the cataclysmic finger-pointing, criticism flying everywhere, feeling of, whoa, here we go again, all of that. I just wanted to avoid that. So I said, just, like, get the W. And honestly, it looked for the longest time like they were going to get the W, you know? And then Raheem hits that long three, and Amani is stripped, and Landers takes his ill-advised three, and, you know, you get the illegal screen, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, hell, you can't believe you're here. And then you start listening to the post game, and you see Penny just taking out the blowtorch, and all of a sudden, like, here we are. But there is no part of this. It's a Memphis institution, and people just really want it to do well. And so, yes, I think it's with great sadness and disappointment that people talk about the whole thing.
Those comments that Penny made afterward, I was listening to you this morning, and they are. I mean, when you start reading them, you look at the actual words put together. I mean, he is as harsh as it gets. Let me question, before we get to the comments, because you've been on, is he typically harsher on, you know, when he talks with Wolo right afterwards in that interview for radio than he is when he comes out for the availability later on with, you know, with the rest of the media? Like, have you know, is there any trend there?
Well, it had been an interesting thing because typically I wouldn't hear the Wolo one.
Right,
I would
right.
just, you know, I'd be at the games, and so at the games you just hear this one, and then on this one I hear both. No, the truth is that at least my experience is that they tend to echo one another. There's sometimes they'll say something more interesting at one place than the other place.
Just curious.
But I don't think there's a particular record, you know, a particular trend one way or another. What stunned me was last night he did the Wolo one first, and, you know, he just lit up the players, and then he did the one to the assembled media there, and he just did it again. Like, it's clearly something he wanted to say, and I don't know. I'll be interested to see whether was this strategic. Mm-hmm. I really get the sense that, you know, for most of us, we looked at that game last night and we thought, oh, you know what, they lost. But if you could look at it in a vacuum, which you can't now, but if you could, you might say, you know what, they lost, but they kind of played better in some ways, and they looked a little more organized, and whatever. And it wouldn't have necessarily struck you as that's the game after which Penny would go off, as much as the Iowa State game, for example. It wasn't as embarrassing in the Iowa State game taken on its own. But I think for Penny, because he cares so much about defense, which we know now, I think that's another reason he was enraged last night. He kept talking about how easily Georgia got an easy shot. The last 10 minutes, they got whatever they wanted. And I think to him, that's what translates to lack of effort, lack of compete. Mm-hmm. And that, as much as anything, more than it being strategic, he was reacting emotionally to a team that he didn't think was giving it all, particularly on the defensive end.
You know, it was interesting. I don't know. You know, obviously we were preparing for our show when you took calls. I don't know what the consensus was. There a consensus? It's interesting. Like, we have different audiences. You know what I mean? That's just the way it works. Like, but was there a consensus? Our audience was almost like, you know, it was pretty split down the middle in terms of, I think there were some good things that happened in that game. Other people sort of focused on the fact that one guy said Penny needs to leave. That's the extreme reaction. Was there a consensus with fans that?
No, I mean, I think most people can hold both those thoughts in their head, that you can concede there were some things better. But I think the point that you guys made earlier in the show, and I say this as an avid listener, is if you're looking at the fact that they had 11 turnovers and they whittled down the rotation, played fewer players, whatever, if you are looking at that as a positive sign going forward, you may be mistaken, because that's the point you all made, and I agree completely. Because if you listen to his comments afterwards, and I mean, there were so many just damning comments that he made that I mostly included those in my column, but he had other comments like, he said, you know, if the veterans are going to play that like that, why don't I play Josh Minor? You know, mm-hmm. He said, well, I did what you guys wanted to do, and we still lost. Basically, that was the, you know, I cut down the rotation, I relied on the veterans, and it didn't work. So I took from his comment, A, from his history, where he changes things up all the time anyway, but then B, from his comments, I could imagine a world, I'm not predicting it, where he comes out and all four veterans start on the bench against Ole Miss. Mm. I mean, I could imagine that. Like, that's how mad he was at them. And so I could see him changing everything up again. I don't think those aspects of stability that some people hope to have found last night, I don't think it's a given that they will that will be continued into the next few games.
You expect to see the starting lineup change based on what you just said. You know, because he'll tell himself, I just wonder, like, Lomax played 27 minutes, right, 14 points. Don't you expect sort of with the way that part will change, that at least the starting lineup, or maybe not?
They'll put Alo back in the starting lineup?
Yeah, based on coming off of a relatively
funny,
good game.
I do. I think he's got to change the starting lineup.
It's the right thing to do to change the lineup.
Well, I mean, it's why I never believed the whole got to get the five, you know, like, you know, five best players on the floor, five best players in the abstract doesn't, you still do need someone who's pretending to be a point guard who acts as a point guard. And if it's Timberlake, it could be Timberlake, but whatever. The weird thing was, of course, he goes with the no point guard lineup to start, and then he immediately, within 3 minutes, right, subs in his two point guards, and neither one of them can shoot. I mean, Alo had a better shooting night last night. I do expect I expect he will change the starting lineup. And just because it seems to me to be so obvious that that does not work. So I do expect him to change the starting lineup. And because Alo played better, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Alo's in there. Although, when he was naming players who he was holding responsible last night, Alo was one of the four he named. He named Alo and Landers and DeAndre and Lester. And I found that a little odd because I thought that Alo and Lester in different ways clearly cared. Like if the indictment was, and these players don't care and they don't hurt as much as I do and they don't care as much as I do and they don't, you know, they don't care if they win or lose. They just care about their stats. I don't think that's a fair criticism of Lester, or that he's, you know, obviously closer to it than any of us are, but I don't think that's a fair criticism of Lester or Alo. It may be a, you know, obviously something DeAndre is not playing well. And Landers has always had the reputation as a guy who is interested in stats, but that particular criticism, I thought it was weird that he applied it as well to the other two.
Yeah, I mean, I said this at the start of the show, and you know, my issue with that is, you know, have you given your veterans like a real chance this season? Have you given them a real chance with the way that the lineups have been deployed and the rotation has been used? Like, have you given them a real chance? You know,
well, have you given your? I thought I was listening to you. You said, like, how can Penny with a straight face be ripping his players when he hasn't? You know, when very clearly it feels like, at least when it comes to instability and everything else, that he's as responsible.
Yeah, I feel like you're asking your team to move mountains, you know,
right
at that point.
Here's my question. What do you all think of this? Do you think the fact that he absolves the freshmen, you know, Amani, and particularly Jalen and Amani, he absolves them. And Amani and Jalen, by the way, is playing great. So I absolve
him.
He
needs more shots, yes.
But yeah, he definitely needs more shots. I mean, last night he had 7 shots. Yep. And honestly, and a lot of those came late, but he should have, yes, you should be much more intentional about getting shots throughout the course of the game. But he absolves them. Do you think, and particularly because with Amani, I mean, Amani, the single worst, most damaging play of the game was turned in by Amani, right? And so is there a danger that there already might have been some kind of tension between the new guys and the old guys? But then when you see the coach treating the new guys, I'm literally just speculating, with, hey, I'm not going to blame them. I'm blaming those you four. Is there a chance that that creates an even greater issue? Could that possibly be a thing? Like, he's treating them with kid gloves?
That's like the whole, you know, baby of the family thing. You know, the baby gets away with stuff that the older siblings didn't get away with. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
But it's also like they're the golden, you know.
Well, they are the golden children. Like, they're the lottery picks. So, yes. But I think hopefully.
So they already have all that going for them. You're DeAndre. You don't have an NIL deal. You don't have anything else. And then he's ripping you by name, and he's
I would be feeling some type of way today if I'm one of the aforementioned veterans. Absolutely,
that's what I told Tom Hart. I don't think you can absolve them completely, because if you do that, right? You saw who got ripped at the end of that game. It was Amani Bates. The guy ripped. The guy goes down, gets the big bucket on the
Absolutely.
Other end. If you say that's okay because they're freshmen. Well, those senior, those veteran guys that you're throwing, you know, saying I need more from you. They're not getting the shot at the end of the game. They're looking at it. Well, it wasn't me that got ripped there at the end of the game. So to your point, if he doesn't hold them at least to some degree accountable, they'll look at it as just saying, oh, they can make all the mistakes, take the last shots, all that. You're fine with that. But with us, it's a different, you know, set of standards. So you have to be careful because of how important they are.
Penny did on that one. Penny did at least hold himself responsible for that one, and that he said, I maybe shouldn't have put Amani in that situation. He'd gotten going, which he had. He hit some shots down the stretch. And he said, you know, that's on me for having, you know, dialed up Amani in that situation, and he wasn't ready for it. It's funny, though. Like, the guy who stripped him is a, you know, hey, obviously he's a big, strong, athletic guy, but he's a JUCO transfer. You know, he's a transfer in from a junior college, whatever, a community college. It's not like he's a all-conference player or anything who Amani was going up against. Just a guy.
I mean, the teams they both just lost.
The
two teams that Memphis just lost to basically have all new teams. That's the part that's frustrating about it. You know, like you're the team
right.
that's actually got some continuity.
Yeah, supposed to be some continuity.
And they're the teams that don't.
There's nothing that's not frustrating about this. There's literally nothing that is not frustrating about this. Okay, well, let me ask you about this broader criticism. Harrington walked in the studio today, and he said two things. One is the way you win in college, it's not with veterans. It's with veteran draftable guards. That's how you win in college, is with guys who are – they don't have to be lottery picks, but you look at Baylor. Like, you have draftable guards who that's what you need to win in college. And Memphis doesn't have any. Like, sure, Memphis has some veterans, but they're not they still, you know, we should have seen this coming, which that part of it we kind of did. And then the other thing he said was the whole thing is just like this is all a hype machine that people get overhyped, overexcited. They have to be the best team ever. You know, they've got all this. They're going to the Final Four, whatever. And then there is this reaction when they inevitably disappoint because they don't have draftable guards, which anyone should have seen coming. And so they are a victim, and they're guilty of it too because they hype it themselves. And so he said, and he also basically said that that the media treats Penny and the program in a fawning fashion. I think he was coming after us, honestly.
I think. Do you think Penny would say that I treat him in fawning fashion?
No, but the way that we talk about that we built this team up, it's the old build.
No, I mean,
my whole thing is that's not why they lost to Georgia.
That has nothing to do with
this. There might even be truth to it, but it's not the reason they haven't made the tournament. I was listening to Harrington on that. I thought he made some great points. And that point about having elite guards, well, that's talking about winning the national championship in college basketball.
Right.
Hey, you should be able to make a tournament when you got the number one class
and
all of these returnees. So it's
right. For God's sake.
And we weren't asking Penny to go out and win a national championship this year.
Right.
So I thought he made some great points, but it's not the reason they're losing right now, overhype or anything like that.
Another rebuttal to that would be, well, look at the Vegas odds before the season started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Like Memphis.
That wasn't just local media.
Hype, look at the Vegas odds last night.
Right.
Again, 11
and a half. I mean,
it wasn't the fawning Memphis media that said they were going to win by 11.
I have a lot of connections.
Vegas.
Correct.
But I don't set the numbers, you know?
Right.
And you see this a lot. Like, and I do think there are elements of truth to that, but you see this a lot. Like, media starts to get the blame, you know, for what's happened to Memphis basketball. No, they had the number one recruiting class coming off an NIT championship with returners, all conference guys, and they added two lottery picks. What are we supposed to think?
And Larry Brown,
a Hall of Famer on the staff. What are we supposed to say? Oh, man, hopefully they just put it all together and make the tournament.
They can repeat as NIT champions.
I mean, that would be like the equivalent of the Grizzlies, you know, having a huge free agency. We're bringing back Ja and Jaren and just saying, well, let's just hope they get in the play-in. You know? It's just, I mean, I get it. I do think there are elements of truth to it. But I also think it's a little bit unfair to point it at the media and say,
more like the Grizzlies have the number one draft because you would want a someone who hasn't played in the NBA before. So the Grizzlies have a great year, and then they add a number one draft pick, like, you know, second or third pick in the draft.
Right.
And then they disappoint.
Right. All right, man. Go find your dog. We got to go.
Thank you, Jeff.
See ya.
Yeah. Here's Jeff Calkins. Catch him every morning from 9 to 11. Read him at DailyMemphian.com. We'll come back, wrap it up. Jason, John, 92.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
FM ESPN.
A lot of companies out there hiring, just applying for jobs. Could be a full-time job. Well, we've got the solution. If you're out there looking for work or you're looking for a job change or a new career, you've been borrowing your girl's car every day. That's getting old. She's sick of it. Millennium Search. Millennium Search hires for the very best companies that Memphis and the Mid-South have to offer. We can't say the names, but we can point you in the right direction. Shoes and apparel, shipping, medical, tools, healthcare. These are the best of the best companies in Memphis and the Mid-South. So, want better hourly paying jobs? Want a better workplace environment, professional services? All you have to do is get the Millennium Search. It's very easy to remember. The website is this, jobswiththebest.com. Hey, jobswiththebest.com. Go to the website, you get a job. Change your circumstances. Millennium Search is here to help you do that. I do want to remind people today, it is December 2nd. Which, as you know, means that on this day, Derek Carr is still the leading passer in the NFL. I did want to remind everybody of that. Such a big day for him, a big accomplishment for him. And I know a lot of people driving around Memphis today can certainly appreciate knowing that Derek Carr is leading the league. So I did want to leave you guys with that.
I don't give a damn.
As we get out of here, that Derek Carr is leading the league.
No.
Better than Tom, better than Kyler, better than Aaron. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know something that is happening today, though, that I think even you could be happy for me for?
You're getting a McRib.
Nope.
No?
What's that?
PS5 coming today.
Oh. Hey! I like to hear
After
that.
After a year and
Congrats.
A half long search,
it almost
is.
Maybe it's not totally a year and a half.
Good for you, Jason.
Yeah, because the kid's not listening, we can say it. No. But
he
that'll,
paid
that'll be
$2,000 for it, but it's coming.
Probably. On the black market, because you can't get them anymore.
Is it going to come with a human organ?
It better. It better.
Like a kidney or something?
A pumping heart.
Oh, yeah.
That I'll be able to sell, Joe.
So the idea, like, this is just what Jason does. Like, it's all under the guise of it's for CJ.
I've been trying to do this for over a year.
But, you know, he's trying to pull the wool over everybody's eyes. This is not for CJ. We'll see about that. This is an attempt for Jason to rekindle
to
his love for video games.
Mm.
Now, you know, it's different, man.
That's what they tell me.
It's like Dale Curry splitting up with Sonya. Like, it's different out here, coach.
Oh, the game
you
has
know?
Changed.
Yes, it has.
Yeah. Like, you got cross-platform now.
Did Dale and Sonya not get back together real fast?
I don't know.
Ooh. Okay. That really didn't get back?
I don't know.
That is heartbreaking.
That is sad.
I can't imagine being Steph right now. It's got to be very hard to play through the season knowing what's going on with your mom
and dad. No, but you're right. The game has changed, right?
Yeah.
So, Call of Duty, Grand Theft, all that's different now for me.
I used to be adequate in Call of Duty. I had a kill death ratio probably like one something, maybe like two at my best.
Yeah.
You know? What was your kill death?
I don't remember all that.
You weren't on it like that, huh?
No, I was about
But I can't even get to one now because I'm so slow. My reflexes just, you know, they pale in comparison to these kids. They have mouses and they have all these aim bots. It's different now, bro.
I'll have to get adjusted. I think the thing about it is that the reason why I went on and said, you know what, I got to do is because I read that through 2022, the same scarcity on these things is still expected because of COVID, the backups on the chips
and
the workers and everything else.
COVID's just an excuse for everything, bro. Like, everybody just says COVID.
It's a recoil effect.
What are you talking about? It's hard. That's why you have to pay more than market value for half this stuff.
Yeah, we got to ramp some stuff up, though.
It's the inventory lines, right? Everything's backed up.
Those stupid ships, you know.
And there's all the cargo's stuck on the ships. You can't even get it off at the port, John.
You don't have enough people to get it off.
Yeah.
It's real, bro.
I'm glad you got the PS5, though. Should be good. Should be fun.
Well,
man.
Yeah. Once it lands, once it's arrived.
Yeah, that thing going to be a PS3.
If somebody hadn't gotten it.
Yeah, it's going to be a PS3. Going to be like, oh, I pay, you know. You make sure. Did you trust the manufacturer that you got it from, bro?
We're going to see. They only had one left. So, yeah, there are still questions. Might be a Nintendo in that damn
thing. It's going to be a GameCube. You got a Sega Dreamcast.
There will be drama until it's opened up, and we know for sure.
What time is it supposed to land?
I don't have it yet.
You don't have the time. All right, brother. Keep us posted.
By today, it says.
Keep us posted. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jeff Calkins. Thanks to Tom Hart. Thanks to Brian Scalabrine for joining on the show today. Gino and Jeffrey up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
This is Memphis' sports station with a legacy of sports in the Mid-South. The flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers Talk. 92.9 FM ESPN. And Odyssey Station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.